It's still really loud.
Am I really loud?
Hang on, talk.
Talking. Hello?
No, you're all right. You're normal.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Curly Charlesworth, and my brother Scott Charlesworth. Scott, how you feeling after the movie?
Ah, oh, bloody bamboozled.
Bamboozled, yeah.
I'm feeling like a...
You just fucking blew my ears out.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I'm sorry about that.
How about you explain to the listeners what you just did to me? Because I have no idea what happened.
Well, so the
shell-shocked.
The interface had the volume on your headphone volume was max.
I don't know,
for
man.
Some reason.
Yeah, but why'd you play the song three times?
I just wanted you to hear how good the song was. Because I put the intro song at the start of this podcast, so I won't have to go back and edit it later.
I'm totally Matthew McConaughey, dazed and confused right now.
You totally are.
It's like I've just been hit with like a giant Hulk thunderclap and I don't know what to do.
Can you hear?
Yeah, no, my ears are fine. My head's just a bit muddled.
Yeah, that tends to happen when you get Hulk thunderclapped.
I did. I got absolutely thunder-cheeked. You know, She-Hulk's twerking now.
It's just a bit of beer just came out my nose.
Oh, yeah. You know, did you squirt beer on the
I squirted beer on my leg.
Did you get on the mic? Nah, she's chill.
She's chill.
Yeah, you know She-Hulk's twerking now?
Yeah, yeah, you showed me that Megan the Stallion, however the fuck you say her name.
Yeah, old Stow Gal.
So she's getting the green cake out and she's wiggling it around. And
they've already made Better Call Saul memes and it's like, Your Honor, my opposition, what do you call the opposition?
Opposition? Yeah, I guess.
No, I think it's like, Your Honor, Your client will never be twerking, and then it's like they start twerking.
Damn.
And then Saul like freaks the fuck out.
As he should.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hard hitting stuff, honestly.
Do you have a spicy hot anecdote that's going to lead us into this movie review?
Spicy hot like the kebabs we ate yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this?
See, I've been having a lot of fresh food lately, and then when we had the kebab, I was like, okay, this is going to end my fresh food streak.
Yes.
2 weeks of good food from my operation. But right. No, the kebab was amazing.
The kebab.
Shout out to a kebab shop in Rouse Hill.
Oh,
you'll
man.
Find it. It's good.
The one in the little center, the village.
Get the triple threat, the aioli, barbecue, and chili sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And get a mixed kebab.
It was really nice, and it didn't leave you feeling dirty afterwards. Because sometimes when you eat that fast food, it leaves you feeling like you want to die.
It leaves you feeling a little dirty. Speaking of feeling dirty after doing something, this movie made me feel a little dirty. It's very grimy, this movie.
This...
We watched The Pledge from 2001. Wow. Oh, yeah, you snot me now, don't you? You give me a synop.
Fuck, I don't think I got a synop.
Oh, quick, pause.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to pause. We're just going to, like, bloody freeball it.
Okay.
I'm fucking freeballing this. We could keep talking.
Hang on, you squirted more beer out of your balls. No, the pledge was
No, you're not doing that.
Full of grime. Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to read it.
No, I'm not reading your synopsis.
All right, I got it. Ready?
I'm ready. All right, three, two, one.
Jerry, Scott,
start.
Do you want me to do this?
Please.
Jerry Black, an experienced homicide detective, prepares to retire from the force permanently. Ooh. However, the murder of a little girl spurs him to use his skills one last time and solve the case.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert, which he doesn't do.
Yeah,
well,
fuck.
Sort of, but not really.
What a fucking wild ride this was.
This movie is a kick in the balls.
Yeah.
It really is.
Makes you squirt beer. Maybe that's why you were squirting beer.
Probably. It's an after effect of watching this movie. You squirt beer out of your testicles and that's what happens.
Hit us with a point, you little squirting beer boy.
All right. I'm a music man, so we're just going to dive right into it.
Oh, Hans Zimmer. Oh, Hans Zimmer. Hans.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Hand Zimmer.
Yeah, the Hand Zimmer.
Yeah.
Hand Zimmerin.
Okay, I want to...
That's a verb. You know, that's when you make a good song and go, fuck, I just hand-zimmered.
Ah, yeah, I see what you mean.
You're hand-zimmering.
Okay, so You know, a lot of movies these days, I'm going to make a bit of a comparison. There is too much... Oh, sorry. I got a bit close to the mic there.
That's all right. I'll allow it.
There is too much music in them.
Yeah.
Now, I mean this in a way, there is a lot of different music packed into movies these days, especially just popular music from the 80s and 70s or whatever, packed in to get the audience's attention and just keep pumping at you. But...
A movie opens and then Tupac's California Love starts playing as you see exactly. The Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah. And even with movies that have original scores, there is, I don't know, sometimes it doesn't let you breathe. This movie lets you breathe. There is only the main theme when it needs to be. And then there is so many points in this movie where it's just dead silence.
Yeah.
There's no music. And that is fantastic. I love it. The use of space, that's what is great about this movie music-wise, is the use of space.
A good funky tune was when he was driving to Nevada at the... Oh, no, he was in Nevada the whole fucking time.
But like a different area in Nevada.
Yeah, like the Pine Forest area. And he's got to go to the gas station, petrol station.
Yeah.
They called it gas, and now I've been brainwashed. There was a real funky tune playing. Real funky tune.
There were some funky tunes. Yeah,
real tune.
But that was good because that was at a moment of peace in the movie.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of sense.
There's some mad stuff whilst he was fishing as well.
Yeah.
Some good fish tracks.
Good fish tracks. I think every musical moment in this was well calculated. And as I just stated, no music was overused. There was so much space to let the scenes breathe.
And it worked with every scene as well. It really added to the mood.
Folky ambient theme. The main theme was cool.
How'd you like Jack Nicholson in this?
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought he was good as well, eh?
It's different to how I've seen him, too.
He's, this is like post, I guess, would you say peak Jack Nicholson with all these, like, main shit? Now he's like...
You know, I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched heaps of Jack Nicholson movies.
Well, he still hadn't done The Departed by this stage.
Yeah. Well, wait, which is the one where he's in with Leonardo DiCaprio? Is that The Departed?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. You sound like a right idiot.
I do sound like a right idiot.
You sound like an absolute turd.
Now, that is a good movie.
Yeah.
You've seen that too, haven't you?
I have. That's actually a...
You haven't seen it?
I have seen it.
Oh.
I have seen it.
Stop winking at me.
I didn't wink at you. Don't make up lies. I've seen The Departed. Anyway... I'm pretty sure that's a reboot or like something, you know. Another country did The Departed. Or there was The Departed before. Anyway, we're losing track.
Yeah, but... No, but I understand what you mean. So, but yeah, I think that this is at a good point for a lot of actors that of like that 80s sort of period coming back as older sort of characters in these gritty sort of movies, like Morgan Freeman as well.
This is 2001. I just want to say this before we get into the movie.
Sorry, when I said Morgan Freeman, specifying Seven, not just saying Morgan Freeman is in this
movie. Well, that's late 90s.
Yeah, but like...
It's same era,
right?
Same grime.
Yeah.
Films had a lot of grime.
For sure.
I just want to, before we get into this movie, because I feel like this could be a bit of a long one.
Yeah.
I was looking at Letterboxd, a bunch of nerds always make lists, and there was a list of like, oh, fuck, I've watched like Time Capsule of 2001, and this movie was on there. So like, I was just scrolling through.
Really?
And I was like, holy shit, 2001 is full of grime, man. And I say grime, I don't mean bad. I mean like gritty, like dirty movies like this.
The thriller aspect was very, very popular towards the late 90s and the early 2000s. You could see it in music too.
Yeah.
And like, I just... Everything was just angry and disgusting and filthy.
I want to say to listeners, I promise you that we will be getting through a lot of these grimy movies.
Because
going through that list, if you search it up on Letterboxd, you know, Time Capsule 2001, whatever, you'll find it. It's a pretty darn diddling list. Look at that list, send us a message on social media and say, hey, watch this one off the list.
Yeah.
Get your little grime on,
then
boys.
We bloody well do it.
There was also Shrek. Shrek's grimy. He eats an onion.
Oh, Shrek is like the top of the grime list. That's fucking swamp.
Let's dive right into this
grime.
Yeah,
well,
mess.
Jack Nicholson, if we want to do it, man, the blabbering drunk scene at the start and the end, like those two scenes, like you see them both. You get what I mean? Like, you see the end scene at the start.
Oh, and then it goes to the end. And then
he's blabbering to himself in the sun. And he's just looking and like, wow, I've just lost this case. I knew it. I had it. I was so close.
Doing that classic thing.
And no one believes me.
Continually going over your thoughts saying, did I do the right thing? Well, of course I did it right here. He's just speaking to himself.
And then the voice is in his head and like, wow. What he does great in this, and it's also kudos to Sean Penn for the directing as well.
Showing
the progression of Jack Nicholson's character, Jerry Black, go from this sane sort of bittersweet retired cop. He's going to miss his job. I'll do one last job, you know, for the sake of the boys. He gets obsessed with it and it sends him insane. Over the course of the movie, he transforms into this like crazy delusional guy. Even though we all know as the viewer, he's right.
Yeah, he starts becoming obsessive over this thing.
And putting other people's lives at risk in order to catch this guy, being Chrissy.
I say, well, I have a point here. Leaving that party was the biggest mistake of his life.
Yes.
He should have, which is fucked, right? Because he's trying to do the right thing. But because he made that pledge, he didn't know how to let go of being a police officer, left the party, got involved in the case. Just fucked him for life. He's going to be fucked for life now.
He's fucked for life. And there is a lot of spiritual symbolism as to why he's fucked for life too.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do a whole segment on spiritual symbolism.
All right, cue the theme song now.
Not now, though. Do you have anything else on Jack Nicholson?
He was. He was just really washed up. I think, as well, talking about crosses, you know how there was the one at the start with the first lady? What was the first girl who passed away?
Ginny.
I think it was Ginny.
It was Ginny. Okay. Yeah, you're 100% right.
The mum was like, oh, Ginny made this cross.
And it was made out of the burnt matchsticks.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, fuck, that would have taken ages.
That would have taken...
She had to burn each one at a point where they didn't burn too much, but they burnt enough to be burnt. But if you burnt them at least a third, they would have gone all dusty and gross.
And glue them together, sideways.
There was at least like 3 matches stacked per bit.
You know, she was an artist.
Yeah.
Even with that drawing, it was very well executed for an 8-year-old.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Had the black car, had the thing.
The wizard.
The wizard head. The wizard. Yeah.
She called it the giant, didn't
she? Porcupine. What do you want to get into? Let's get into your spiritual segment.
All right. Okay. All right.
Whatever you said.
Man, it's really, really intense and in-depth. Like, all the symbolism shown throughout it, obviously, like talking about the angels coming down and like when a kid gets murdered, right? And like taking that child.
Oh, that the grandma said.
To all the places that they adored the most and spreading their halos or something around before they take them back up to heaven.
And they have flowers to God or something like that.
I saw kind of parallels between that and all like the other kids that have been murdered in the area and stuff, and I don't know, and like there was a lot of obviously the porcupine symbol was everywhere. I kind of see that as like a, you know, like an innocence sort of symbol, right?
Yeah, okay.
And you know, I did a little bit of reading. This might not be entirely accurate, but the porcupine is like quite keeps to itself and very protective of their babies, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I'm seeing a couple of, you know, similarities there as well. You know, like that
similarities with who?
Like the parents that obviously they're like the parent porcupines, like they want to protect their babies thing, but you know, they're keeping to themselves, and I think that kind of represents the kids keeping to themselves and like going on their own like adventures, like seeing this guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're just by themselves and the parents just trust in them that they're not going to, like, get abducted and stuff because it was a different time, right?
Yeah, and that was really good writing as well because when that old lady was describing the angels, you could just, like, picture that perfectly.
Oh, yeah. But do you kind of get what I mean there? Like, that's kind of, like, individual, like, keeping to themselves, going on, doing their own thing. But it's also, it's a stranger danger sort of aspect to it that they weren't thinking of.
Yeah, they weren't expect, especially in that sort of quiet area. You weren't really expect it to be
That's right.
Like fucking weirdos out there. But that was more than one weirdo, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And also, the biggest religious point in this movie that I sort of saw was when Jerry, at the end, was blabbering to himself or drunk, it was like he was cursed with the knowledge.
Yeah, right? Like, no one believed
him. He's to walk on earth in his own sort of purgatory sort of thing, because he pledged spiritually, right? And he never solved it.
But yeah, because he still doesn't know who the
killer
was. Well, I guess
we
call him the wizard. We call him the wizard?
Or yeah. The giant, whoever you want to call
him. Oh,
yeah,
fuck, there's like multiple. Well, we don't know who the killer, he doesn't know who the killer really was.
Yeah.
Neither do we. We'll get to that.
We can call
him
the Porcupine Man, because that's the similarity between all the stories, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever you want to call him. The wizard, we'll call him the wizard.
Oh, but fuck it. I just say right now, do you think that all the cases were connected, or do you think that it was just him trying to connect it all?
I think the cases were connected in a way that this guy was like...
So we got the missing child with Mickey Rourke as the dad. We got the other girl who got her neck slit, and the police officer who was like saying, "Oh fuck, I get adrenaline over this."
Yeah,
and Ginny, and then Chrissy. You reckon that it's all connected?
Well, yeah, that's.
I reckon it's connected.
I think it's connected, even though the other cops are like, "Oh, come on, Jerry, you're clutching at straws here." There's a 100 other girls with blonde hair and blue eyes wearing red dresses in this town that are 8 years old.
Yeah,
but. The thing is that this killer was just going after them all in this town.
Mm.
And it was just happening in this town in like a short, a short distance of an area, right?
However, they said that they were all killed the same, but I swear that Ginny at the start was like hacked to Pete. Like when you saw her, she was like, fucked, man.
Yeah.
But it must have been like the slit throat or something.
It could have been
shit.
like this overly bloody sort of snow that was on her and stuff. Maybe that made it look like all chunky and stuff.
Nah, I swear you saw like her body like hacked to pieces.
It did look like it to me as well.
Yeah. But then you saw the picture of the other girl who died.
Yeah.
With the police officer who said he got adrenaline over it. Yeah. And her neck was sliced.
It was the same.
Obviously we don't know what the missing girl looked like, so it's hard to say.
Mm.
But they said they were killed all the same. Maybe they were just, I don't know, maybe they're all stabbed. Is that what they mean?
Yeah, I guess so. I get like a stabbing and...
But it is, because it's hard to pin that on the same thing, because they were killed in slightly different ways with such big time differences.
That's right. But it was
makes
all
you
like,
doubt it all as well.
Yeah, there's... You can connect the dots, but it's not solidified evidence. You know, it's not concrete.
Yeah.
But that's, and like just going back on the themes as well, like we have the theme of innocence there and then the theme of like religion being so strong. I don't know. I really like the idea of this being kind of like a symbol of him being cursed in hell for not solving this case almost.
Which is weird.
Like hell on earth almost.
He is. He's stuck there just drinking.
Deteriorating his mind, going into this cursed sort of black hole.
Fishing for marlin and battering them in panko breadcrumbs.
It's exactly right.
God damn it.
I would have liked some of that fish, actually.
It looked all right. Yeah, it looked all right.
Pretty decent.
Benicio del Toro is in this.
A lot of...
Him and Aaron Eckhart just like had mad foreplay in the interrogation room.
Aaron was getting pretty close to... Toro man
rubbing his forehead on there and grabbing his nipple. Oh, not his nipple. It was like
his chest.
His
he was
chest.
Rubbing
he's
his
squeezing.
Chest.
He's like, oh fuck! Oh,
does that feel good?
Yeah. How'd you feel about that?
That was a really uncomfortable scene, to be honest.
He kind of got
but
it.
It was a good. There was a good scene for the story, but it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Forced a confession out. I obviously knew it wasn't him.
Oh yeah.
I didn't expect
tell.
Him to kill himself.
Yeah. Oh man, I thought he was going to kill the cop.
Yeah.
I kind of got the feeling when he didn't point it straight up the cop straight away that he was going to gun him.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't expect that to happen right after, though.
Oh, yeah.
And the bullet hole just goes straight through the thing, nearly hits Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
And I was like, holy fuck. And then blew his brains out. Yeah, it's pretty gory, this movie, at points as well, eh?
And it was, yeah, it wasn't like it was overused either. It was just gory when it needed to be, exactly like the music.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. There was a lot of people in this. Yeah.
One thing that I will say, though, about the movie that I didn't really like that much was the lack of tension in some places.
Okay,
I'm talking sort of in the middle. You know, it was a time for character building and peace, so I forgive it for that. But for me, I would have liked a few more moments of kind of heightened tension.
Yeah, you're right.
If we're going to compare it to Seven, we have that heightened tension throughout the whole movie, right?
Consistent.
It is a different movie, but it's also got a similar premise. I think that...
Did you say Bone Collector as well?
Bone Collector, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Bone Collector's like a discount Seven, I would say.
Yeah, right.
It's not bad, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Anyways, basically, what I'm getting at is I think there needed to be a couple more heightened, tense moments like the church scene.
Mm.
Not necessarily to that level, because it was a very nice build-up, but it loses a little bit of momentum. Just a bit.
Well, what about when he's like buying the place and then getting settled and then talking to Laurie and...
I feel like when he, you know, he kind of... lost his motion a little bit and accepted the retirement, I kind of felt, oh man, he's given up a bit.
It was especially tense whenever the police were around. The start was super intense. Yeah, you're right. Then it sort of died of tension a little bit, and then police came back and it was like shot right back up. Or the church, ever since the church scene. Or Gary was before that, wasn't he?
Yeah, Gary was before
that. Whenever Gary came in with the snowman.
That was tense.
That was weird.
Yeah. Now, Gary, let's talk about Gary as a character, because, yes, he isn't the killer, but he is a fucking weirdo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think, in the end, do you still think it might have been Gary? I don't know.
No, I don't.
Picture's different, eh? Picture has a guy with hair, Gary's hairless. Well... He's got the little side tufts. He's got the nice little,
yeah, the side tufts.
Yeah, little snowy white there.
I'll be honest with you. I think the porcupines of like Gary's mother's shop, with like the handmade ones and the chocolate ones, they're not connected at all.
Really?
Those ones are not connected.
So who do you think's the killer then?
So like, because aren't they different shops, right?
Not connected to each other, connected to the case.
To the
the chocolate guy.
It was the chocolate guy, yes.
Yeah, who we didn't see.
But, like,
see.
They're still porcupines, but it was a different porcupine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what keeps your mind guessing. You think it's Gary and then it's not. Oh, yeah. Sorry, we had a little cut there, but we're back now.
Yes.
Are your volume levels all right, Ben?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh. Turn you up.
Stop it.
Turn you up and turn you on.
No, it did, but also the fact that they revealed Gary so quickly as well. You know, I guess we've seen enough movies to be like, oh no, it can't be Gary either, because you can't be revealing this guy halfway through and it's the killer. No way. But it's weird because they never showed the killer, sort of.
Yeah. So, okay, question time for you.
Mm.
You said you saw the wizard hanging out in the back of the shop at one of the scenes.
Well, I reckon that was the wizard, right? Okay, so
in the chocolate Christmas shop. That's with the bells.
Yeah, in the Christmas shop.
Yes.
The weird lady who was super weird, and she was probably almost as weird as Del Toro's character.
Oh, yeah.
She was fucking weird.
She kept
pulling a little Santa hat. Yep. What was she doing? She wasn't even adjusting it. She was just pulling it to the side. Anyway,
I do that when I wear a Santa hat. I like to pull it up.
Yeah, but not like that. It was as if she was trying to show it and sell it. I thought she was going to mention the hat. She never mentioned the hat. She just kept pulling the hat.
Yeah, just giving subtle signals.
I digress. Anyway, that's when Jack Nicholson was going to find the grandma of Ginny.
Yeah.
And in the background, there's a guy. And then she says his name. I don't know what his name was. Let's say his name was Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. Johnson Jankel. She goes, Johnson Jankel, I'll get that. And then she goes to the front and thing. And you kind of see him in the back, right? Oh. He's got his beard and shit like that.
You didn't fully see him.
You didn't fully see him. But then, why would they cut to her at the end? Looking for it, and then she finds the porcupine chocolates. So, obviously, it was the guy. It's her daughter. I mean, son.
Her son.
That's my theory.
Well, no, you're correct. Because
I'm correct, yeah.
It is the guy.
Yeah, I'm fucking
also, Jack did good. Put it together too. He had an idea in one of his flashbacks where he went back to the shop scene and thought about the bells and all that.
Yeah.
And it went through his head.
He played it, yeah. But he never actually really put it together. And he'll never be able to put it together because the guy burnt.
Guy fucking crashed
that
his
was
car.
Him. Do you believe that 100%. Was the guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And that made...
It was a burn in hell, you motherfucker, but you should have burnt after they caught you.
See, that makes Jack look like a fucking nutcase.
Moron, yeah.
And Aaron Eckhart, Eckhart doubts him and shit. Like, it's just such a sad ending. A good ending, though. I like the ending. Yeah. Did you like the ending? That's why.
I was mixed at first, but now reflecting on it, I think I'm pretty on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like the connectivity to the start, as we said before. Go, all right, let's just talk about something. Can you believe how many people say things or believe in something, like a case or something like that, and then the case gets fully closed and never to be fully discovered again? Like, yeah. I wonder how often that happens.
Oh, it just happened recently with the Chris Dawson case, didn't it?
Really?
There's like a, you know, the Teacher's Pet podcast, and then...
I haven't really looked into it that much.
I don't know the full story either, but I just know that a podcast like reopened the case and then the guy ended up getting thrown in jail. It's 78 and it was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
It was Teacher's Pet.
So it was a podcast that opened it.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
By the Australian. Not by us, unfortunately.
Can you imagine if we...
You might, mate. Our true crime podcast will come out. Yeah. We'll open all sorts of cases.
Butts to Nuts. Crime time.
Stole from IGA. No.
I gotta fucking beep that. Why did you have to name
Crime? Well, you beep him, beep the name, but keep stole from the IGA.
No, yeah. Okay.
and then 30 years time, we'll...
The Ben Lee song plays. That's the way I like it.
No, Catch My Disease.
Catch My Disease.
I don't know. Yeah, because he's going to be thinking for the rest of his life that the killer's still out there as well.
Mm.
So he's probably going to still stalk Chrissy and that. And then...
Nah, I think he's just going to drink himself to death.
Oh, you reckon?
Because he knows he's ruined himself of a good life. Can you imagine the guilt that he has?
Anyhow, he's bought a shitty gas station to monitor the car.
And he's trying to convince himself as well. Like, I can see little seeds of doubt in himself. Because the reason he's talking to himself is because there's bits of doubt in him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. Where it's actually tragic.
And he used Chrissy as bait.
And
especially at the swing and that.
Yeah.
The front.
Mm-hmm.
Still, though, that Gary's... You don't go up to little girls.
That's fucking playing weird,
with
man.
A snowman just to bring him to your church.
Don't give a fuck if you're just a nice pastor. Like, that's weird.
Yeah, just because you're al dente, man, doesn't mean shit. Oh, how fucked was
the church scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's... Yeah. The whole build-up of that scene was spectacular. We started off, where's Chrissy? Like, it was all happy, right?
Mm.
And the mother's like, oh, she's gone with Pastor...
Yeah, mate, I bloody watched a few, mate. Keep going.
I'll just walking you through it. Anyways, the mother's all like, oh, yeah, she's just gone to the church and stuff. And that is, oh, man, instant tension right there. Gets in the car, doesn't even talk to the mother on the way out. Jerry's in it. He's gunning it down the fucking road.
Quick zoom when he opens the gun cabinet. I mean, the closet.
Yeah.
Zooms in on his head.
Yeah. Actually, Sean Penn, he did a couple of quick zooms.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
That was kind of funny. And then the cows crossing the road. That was instant tension right there because you're like, well, he's run out of time.
Mighty fine cows as well, I must say.
Mighty fine. You are a specialist in the bovine, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Delicious rump there.
Mm.
Yeah.
God, you're making me wet at the mouth right
Brahmin.
Now.
Oh, probably Brahmin.
Brahmin.
Brahmin by the looks of it.
And then he's gunning it through the happy green fields, smashing through those fences. Looked very similar to Wiseman's Ferry, actually, that area.
Whoa, don't dox us.
Don't dox us?
Yeah, man, don't dox us.
All right. Well, we've already doxed us with Rouse Hill.
No, well, we haven't. Rouse Hill's nowhere near us. Wiseman Ferry, that's just down the road, mate.
Oh, fuck.
Rouse Hill's closer. Leave it.
Leave it, leave it. And then he gets to the church.
I saw it, mate.
What? I'm just talking about... I'm trying to recapture this tension here.
You're recapturing something. I don't know if it's tension.
Smashes through the door. Fucking Chrissy's got a neck slit. There's a Grim Reaper person with the scythe.
That was Greg.
It was Greg.
Oh, fuck, Gary. Gary.
Fucking Gary.
Greg.
Wow. Bang.
You have a point to this, or...?
I'm just saying how masterfully crafted the whole tension was built up in this scene. It was... I would say this was my favourite part of the movie.
Yeah, that was weird, where he's touching his nipples with blood and had the Grim Reaper blade and shit. And then I was like, hey, come to church. He's like, ah, shit, I was going to shoot you.
Yeah. And then it instantly switches back to reality with all the people sitting in church. Oh, wait, can you imagine if he got his gun out and just fucking...
I thought it was real. I did think it was real.
Yeah.
For a split second there.
When Jack Nicholson yelled out no, oh, my heart sank.
Sean Penn, like, tricked me.
He tricked you as well? Yes.
Oh my God, stop it. You're an idiot. As if you get tricked.
Oh, you're a fucking... You're a dumb person. Mate, you're a silly sausage.
We don't swear on this podcast. He's a good reader as well, isn't he? Told a good story.
Yeah.
I like these reading skills. lots of cameos in this. Helen Mirren. Wow.
Yeah. I liked her character. She was interesting, like the artist that can also investigate people through art.
Yeah.
She must have dealt with the police before on different cases involving art.
Yeah, I think there's a prequel series going to explore that, probably.
Mirren...
Margoyles. It's actually Margulies.
Mirren's making. Art making.
Wow.
Colon art making.
Making a Helen instead of... Oh, no, making a Mirren instead of making a murderer.
Yeah.
Making a Mirren.
Making a Mirren.
Wow, that should be an autobiography.
Oh,
making
yeah.
a Mirren. Damn. Art. You're welcome, Helen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous woman.
She's fantastic.
Another cameo is Mickey Rourke. He's in this.
Mickey Rourke.
A lot of people just showed up for 2 seconds, then either killed themselves or cried.
Yeah. that seemed to be a bit of a trend, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke's scene was quite...
Making a Millen, killing myself and crying.
Yeah.
Crying and killing myself. Hmm. Interesting. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah. I like the way that you put it the first time.
Anyway, go.
The Mickey Rourke scene was... Wow, that cut deep too.
It was wild. He had two electric whips and smashed a Formula One car. Robert Downey Jr.
Hold on a second. No, we're talking about the same movie here.
He had like a toothpick in his mouth. He said, my bird.
Oh, I conquered too.
That was weird.
We'll get you your bird. Justin Hammer, hey.
No, that really did break the tension for me. I think that was in the middle point where he said the tension dropped. Was that whole weird sequence?
Oh yeah, that's when it was
my
like,
bird. My yeah,
my bird.
This was that was weird. That was weird. He was good.
The only other movie I've seen him in.
Oh, mate, watch some fucking movies, mate. Get up with it.
I better like put a skip in my step and get.
You
to
seen
it.
Death at a Funeral?
Yeah,
the British one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in that.
We watched it together.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. Yeah. We should review it for the podcast.
All right, next week. We'll see you then. No.
No.
Mickey Rourke was great. Fuck. Yeah, Jack Nicholson's a good driver or reader. Give me the point.
The scenery. Wow. Oh, my God. That first scene with the lake or the river or whatever, the frozen ice area.
Mm.
Oh
yeah, that was great.
Oh, that was so nice. And just going through the pine forest and, you know, the different shots of, lots of long shots of Jack Nicholson thinking to himself and pondering.
You wouldn't think that's Nevada, would you?
No.
From like a Australian's perspective.
Because Nevada, you think desert.
Yeah, I just wouldn't think like that.
I would say it's northern Nevada, if I'm thinking correctly.
I don't know. You either sound really smart or really dumb.
I would say, I think more south would be more desert area. Up north would be the nice lush pine forest area, kind of. I don't know my geographical locations very well in America.
I think you do. I think you do by the sounds of that, yeah.
You know what?
You sit in that.
The roads in this movie reminded me of Days Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Even though that's set in a different state.
Nevada, I think.
No, it's in Oregon.
Okay. Utah. Set in Utah.
Utah.
Utah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Permission to speak.
But yeah. Oh, excuse me. I just thought the scenery was shot so beautifully. And the birds. Oh.
Birds.
The fuck.
My bird.
My bird.
Really broke the tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The birds.
Actually, he had birds in his thing, didn't he? Little budgies.
There was, yes. Yeah. Wow.
Connected. Maybe that's his character.
Hold on.
During the time he's hating...
Ivan.
Yeah, during the time he hates Tony Stark. Bro.
He goes to a retirement village.
The bird's a metaphor for his missing daughter. Where's my bird? Where's my board? I know. I connected it. This is in the MCU.
You've done well.
Damn, I think the main reason the police were annoyed at Jerry was because they paid for a fishing trip and he didn't end up going.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, pulling, like, you know, throwing in $100 for a guy to go to Mexico and he just doesn't. You're like, oh, fuck.
Fucking hell.
This guy.
Yeah.
They weren't dicks to him, which I liked as well.
They were understanding because it was a big move to go from 13 years in the force with them specifically. So he was probably part of a different department because he said 12 to 13 years.
Oh, I think I was only with Aaron.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That he knew Aaron. I think he's like there for like 30 or something.
Okay, all right.
Himself, yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, you were a little bit bamboozled.
Well, you know, you never know because cops do move departments all the time.
Although he did have all those pictures on the wall of like shit happening, so
true.
Maybe
yeah
something. Maybe he was in the army beforehand. Didn't really take notice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he. Oh no, I would say that was just like a Medal of Honor being in the police force.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
But what were we talking about? Cops being angry.
Yeah, cops being cops.
They were pretty understanding. Aaron Eckhart, he wasn't like a douche to him.
Even at the start, I really thought he was going to be a douche when it was like, oh, hey, bro, can you, like, can I come onto the case kind of thing? It's like, oh, it's up to this dude. He said, yeah, of course. When he had his, like, little hula skirt and he was dancing at the party.
That was unexpected. I felt a douchiness come on.
Good performance from Aaron Eckhart as well. He's usually in shit, so,
As of late.
As of late, yeah.
Yeah.
Our first movie.
I Frankenstein.
Our first movie was with him. That's like the main man.
What do you mean?
Battle Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So.
Wow, this is pivotal.
It is pivotal. We've watched two of his movies now on record, unless there's another one we're forgetting.
Some would even say it's revolutionary.
What do you think of Laurie and him having sex?
That was weird.
I didn't like that, eh?
I thought that was off for the plot.
They threw it in just to have a kiss scene.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was more... He was more of like a grandfather
figure. Yeah, he was using them as bait and also caring for them, but it wasn't like that.
He had a genuine connection to them. There is no doubt there.
Yeah, but not that connection. It just felt weird, dude.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
It felt like he was a grandfather at first and then he became the older dad.
Felt like someone was like, oh, we need a kiss scene. We'll just chuck it here. It's like, well, you don't
need a kiss scene.
Yeah, not every movie needs a love interest. Sometimes you can just have the plot without the love interest.
That's right.
Yeah, he bought the killer, was using him as bait. That was wild. Oh, yeah, what do you think of... What was up with Laurie? I didn't understand when she got beat up. Did she get beat up because she wasn't paying child support or she got beat up because she brought up the guy not paying child support?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah, it would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That was very sad, and I felt, that was obviously a big moment for the plot as well, bringing them together closer.
Yeah.
But I really didn't see it going that in a lovey-dovey sort of way.
Nah, that was weird.
Super strange, yeah.
Any final points, broski?
Nah, man, you know, I think we've covered this pretty well.
I didn't like the quick zooms that much. All the excessive quick zooms, like on the clown and the kid at the start when he found the body. That kind of broke a tiny bit of tension for me.
I understand
There's
that.
A tiny bit of editing that dates this a bit, I think.
It does.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, it was probably good at the time, but it doesn't sit as well now. The excessive overlays work at some points, but then sometimes they don't as well. Like, I think with the swing scene where there's like three swings going at once, it's a bit dizzying.
Bit
and
crazy.
I was like, oh, man.
Although in the scene with the clown with the quick zoom, the balloon in the sky, the pink balloon, and then like there was like these strings kind of going weird.
Mm.
Oh, that was chilling.
Oh yeah, the quick cuts were cool. Yeah,
the quick cuts, but
not all the quick zooms were bad. But the one at the start was probably the most notable shit one.
Oh, with the
kid.
The kid, yeah.
Where he found the body. Yeah, that was zoomed up on his head twice.
Bro! Like, oh, there's a dead girl here.
Holy shit.
Holy fuck. I gotta report this.
And yeah, I just find it sad that he's never gonna get closure and he's just gonna be like stuck in this case for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Trivia time?
Trivia.
Or here's some trivia.
Trivium the band.
All right. Oh, fuck. I've lost it. I've deleted it. No, I'm kidding. The look on your face, you were absolutely flabbergasted.
Oh, man, I was like, oh.
This is an adaptation of Friedrich Dürrenmatt's novel.
Yeah.
That was based on a story he wrote for a German movie called It Happened in Broad Daylight from 1958. Maybe you will watch that. We will watch that. It happened in broad daylight. I add it to my letterbox watch list.
Did it actually happen in broad daylight or was it 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
It apparently had a slightly less bleak ending because it did happen at 5 o'clock in the afternoon instead of broad daylight. Misleading.
Yeah. All right. I think we should give it a review then.
Yeah. This movie definitely had a pledge. That one didn't have
broad daylight. He didn't pledge. He promised. He never said pledge.
That's why it's not a 10 out of 10.
I was waiting for it.
Jack Nicholson's secretary in the movie, Jean, you remember her?
Ah, good old Jean.
Was played by Sean Penn's mother, Eileen Ryan.
Good on you, Eileen.
Yeah, come on, Eileen. The child murders depicted in this movie were loosely based on actual cases that had been worked by Detective Joe Depczynski, movie's technical advisor.
Wow.
However, the cases were not thought to be work of a single killer, as this movie depicted, nor did the real detective come to say the same thing at the end, as Jerry Black did. I kind of read that wrong because there was a thing blocking my view. Very interesting. Interesting.
That is interesting. So there's an element of reality in this.
From, what's his name? Joe Depczynski. Joe Depczynski. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Joe
Depczynski.
I thought you were going to say mama.
Oh, fuck.
Missed opportunity. Walk out the door right now.
Who's Joe?
Mama.
Letterboxd review time. Jaybird says...
Yeah.
This is a little poem from Jaybird.
I love you, Jay.
Sean Penn directed The Pledge, with Nicholson right on the edge. A man on a mission, so he'll keep fishing, getting evidence for what is alleged. Three and a half stars from Jaybird.
Jesus, Jaybird, you put in a fucking lot of effort into that, and I'm proud. I would stand at your graduation and clap.
Thank you. Melissa said, Jack Nicholson being obsessive and going crazy cinematic universe is literally one of my favorite genre.
Yeah.
I think she means to say genres, but yes. It's not multiple genres, but it would be used as a plural there, I believe.
Nice, nice.
Four stars from Mel.
Ah, good on you, Mel.
Delindo. Rourke's performance in this slaughtered Nicholson's. Sean Penn manages to make a compelling film, 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
See, it sounds like she's doubting Sean Penn. Manages. You manage.
Well, we haven't seen any other Sean Penn movies, I don't think.
What do you mean we haven't seen any? No. Maybe you haven't.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen any...
Some movies, mate. You're making a mockery of yourself tonight.
I don't know. I stand by me.
You've never watched another Sean Penn movie.
Who knows? I've probably...
Acted or directed, though?
What do directed, you mean?
Okay.
Not acted.
Yeah.
Possibly. No, I don't know. You're probably going to find one and go, here's five that you've seen.
Probably, but I'm not going to.
We'll do that after the podcast.
You like seeing Penn, don't you?
You know what? Funny that... Back in year four, there was a teacher that was getting missed to someone, and he was telling me about how this kid didn't answer to the roll call when he was called Sean, and then the teacher then found out that his mum thought the pronunciation was seen, for real.
What a fucking idiot. Score time, baby.
All right.
I'm going first because you went first last time.
You know what? I go first every time because you asked me and I go, yeah, I'll fucking do it.
Oh, okay, go.
All right, Neil. Well, I was thinking of an 8 out of 10 nugs, but it's not. I think it's almost there, but it's not. So it's going to be a 7.5 nugs out of 10.
I'm giving this 7 nugs out of 10.
Respectable.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these three things.
Number one.
Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.